We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
He didn't embarrass us that bad. Listen, when in my fucking book, I was expecting like a 20-30 point blowout, especially when Jimmy went down. You know, when I saw that PJ Tucker was back, but he wasn't starting. I was like, "Oh shit, he's not really ready to play." Their main bench guys were Kyle Guy and Chris Silva. Somehow, Kenny pointed this out before and during our little pregame chat. Chris Silva has gotten worse at basketball, which is hard to do. You know, NBA reps, G League reps, and he's gotten worse somehow at playing basketball. And he was pretty bad already, and he's gotten badder. That's not good. But you know, like literally the most important thing about this game is, you know, Jimmy's health. Jimmy goes down, you know, I'm not gonna say non-contact, just a plant, and that ankle, I don't know, it's just made out of tissue paper at this point. He planted his foot and he went down like me, you know, trying to jump over a fence, just crumbled to the floor. Like it didn't look good, and it doesn't look good for the foreseeable future. I am Alphonse Sidney, aka Alp954. Welcome to the Miami Heat Beat post game show hangover time.
We're back
after a week long hiatus. I said we were going to be back Sunday. I lied to you, blatantly lied in your face. If you're joining us live from Twitch, thank you. Subscribe, hit us with bits and all that stuff, and thank you very much. If you're watching the replay on YouTube, thank you. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and also next time try to catch us live on Twitch. The chat always be lit. Kenny's on the show tonight. We're going to roast Kenny a little bit. It's going to be a good time. Go ahead, bring me out, Brass.
Look who's back.
I'm back.
Hey.
Y'all are free for me.
Praise God.
The whole crew is back. Brass is back producing, which means we're going to get music at the proper levels.
Some competency around here, finally. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
It's going to be a professional show. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I had a really nice lunch/early dinner with my family. I've been drinking since about 3. I don't know if you can notice. You notice?
Yeah, I can notice.
Yeah.
You get like nasal. You get like
it's like you drink. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
You should be hungover by now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why we call it hangover time, baby. 12:30 at night. Let's do this. Find out what everyone's drinking. I want to know what you're drinking. I also want to know whose fault this was.
Isn't that who kicked our ass?
No, just I want to know whose fault this was. Like, what person in the Heat organization, whether it be Adam Simon, whether it be me, Pat Riley, Spo. Whose fault was this loss tonight? Javon, what are you drinking and whose fault was it?
I am drinking some Robert Mondavi Merlot. And that's a good question. Whose fault is this? Whoever assembled the collection of talent for the Warriors. That's whose fault this was.
The Warriors general manager.
There you go.
They played 13 guys tonight. Like, what the fuck is going on in Golden State?
And they were
like,
all competent.
How do they
imagine having 13 available players?
I mean, how do they not have COVID? There's no COVID in California.
Man.
Fucking A.
They just got Draymond back.
They all got immunity from being around Andrew before, you know.
That's true. That motherfucker is fucking patient zero. G, what are you drinking, and whose fault was it tonight?
I got we're in mourning today, so I got a bottle. You know,
what is this?
Are you a hobo?
We need more information.
I just got some. I don't know. It was in a bag. I got.
We're in mourning.
Open the bag.
Jimmy's ankle.
It's just weird. I mean, okay. I
did you rob a bum for that?
Yeah, I did actually. Right on Kendall Drive. I kind of kicked him in the shin.
I'm shocked you didn't make a DeMar DeRozan joke there.
Damn it!
Son of a bitch.
Fuck! I fucked up. Listen, this
is... I lobbed the bum joke.
I know, here. Dude. I was yurt. I just couldn't finish a lob.
There you go.
This is the Butchers of Biscayne's fault. Those motherfuckers, poor Jimmy, they got to do a better job with Jimmy. He breaks his ass. He breaks his ankles. You know, fuck the Butchers of Biscayne. Keep our guys healthy, man.
I love this whole Twitter thing. Is we're high tops. But I mean, come on, like,
talk to Steph's ankle guy.
But like, what are we doing with like the we're high tops thing? Like that's
I was playing cleaning ankles in high tops,
bro. That's what I'm saying. Like that is the answer to all of life's issues. You got COVID, wear high tops.
Yeah, high tops and Tussin. Yeah.
pre-game, put a little tussin on your ankles.
It's as good as the third dose.
It's the booster shot of sneakers.
It's the booster shot of ankle injuries.
Brass, what are you drinking tonight? And whose fault was this?
It is very late tonight, so I am drinking I didn't make some fancy kind of drink. However, I did pick this up when I was in Florida. I did get some Miami Club Cuban coffee rum liqueur, which is really, really good. It's like cold brew Cuban coffee and rum. It's delicious. G stole mine, so
oh, I did my
I'm all pissed off at G again. It's okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Butchers of Biscayne. I mean, if Jimmy looked bad, he was not playing well in this game.
Then he started lighting it up.
No, that was
then,
the first
and
quarter.
Then, yeah. Right, and then he started heating up, and then boom.
As soon as he was looking good.
So I think, collapsed. I mean, this game ended, you know, it was a 7-point difference. We were rolling. We could have won this game with Jimmy and a bunch of, you know, a bunch of nobodies, and we didn't. And that's the Jimmy's health. It sucks, and I hope this isn't like all those years of Tibbs playing him like 56 minutes a night is not like catching up to him now.
Take that out the air, Brass. Don't.
I'm sorry. Well,
put it in the ether. It's there now.
I mean, come on, like
it's there now. Kenny, first of all, congratulations on the good Wi-Fi. It seems like after midnight, where the rest of everyone else in the neighborhood goes to sleep. people are streaming porn. Your bandwidth. You're a lot better. What are you drinking? And whose fault was it?
All right, so they're gonna go ahead and boo me right now because I drank enough this past weekend for all of 2022. I got shit to do tomorrow, so I'm just gonna lemonade tonight. I'm chilling. The person whose fault it was Pat and it was Spo because
Pat?
Typically, hear me out. Because typically when you sign somebody who played for your team before, it's because they know the system.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and they know damn well Chris Silva doesn't know the system.
I'm a Kenny.
He knows it. He just can't do shit about it.
It's their fault. And but before we take me out, I gotta shout out G for robbing rich homeless people because that's what Zane can do. But next time, go to South Beach like a real person. Shout out to my dude out there on South Beach, the homeless dude with no arms that be stabbing people. I swear to God, it's a real story. I'll post it later. Take me out, press.
Get him on hangover time.
What?
That is a homeless man with no arms stabbing somebody.
Too much COVID over there.
Yeah, I know that dude too.
Kenny, I've thought about your
How you know the homeless man with no arms?
Because I used to work down there at the Masons. He used to come into the bathroom and like wash himself with his feet.
Kenny sold him gloves.
He could probably play better defense. Than
DeMar DeRozan. Do they want a 10-day contract?
I heard that, Gianni.
Thank you.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, to this game, by the way, I'm drinking Bullet Whiskey and ginger ale. And the who to blame for this game is... Fauci? I don't know. I don't really
know. No, that's why Spo didn't play Chalmers again.
Yeah, again. I was very happy. It was an enjoyable game. It was competitive. It had no business being competitive. Like, they kept getting punched in the mouth by the Golden State Warriors, who are the best team in the NBA. Let's remember that. They're playing them on the second night of the back-to-back with 2.5 playoff rotation players, okay? And they kept getting punched in the mouth, and Kyle Guy was like, fuck that shit, I want a second 10-day. Like, it was – there was just, like, so – Caleb Martin hitting step-back threes in the corner. Like,
a pull-up?
It
was just, good, man. Caleb's
yeah,
good.
It was just – it was fun to me. It was fun. I wasn't – like, I'm a little disappointed with Hero, you know, but, like – And this is, I guess, one of the things we can talk about is Hero starting. One of the problems what happens is when you can key in on Hero, he struggles. Motherfuckers throwing the ball away. Like, they put Wiggins on Hero, and motherfucker didn't know what to do. And then they put Draymond on Jimmy, and that was like it's tough with Hero starting. It's tough when you put the best, most athletic perimeter defender on the other team on Hero, and that's what happens when he starts. And he struggled tonight. And he did some good things, but he threw the ball away a lot, and he was pressing. But you have to press Siobhan when your only reinforcements are Kyle Guy and Chris Silva. Like, I don't know if you have to press, but I guess he felt like he did.
So he did feel like he did, and that is why I'm not for him being in the starting lineup yet. I think that the notion or the idea is that with starting, there's an elevated level of expectation and of pressure. And so one feels like they have to overcompensate and do more than they typically would do. And so that is why you see him pressing a lot. And I don't think that that is particularly necessary. But yeah, that's the way to get him out of his groove, right? Put a rangy, athletic wing on him and just let the length and the athleticism cause some fits. And that's what happened. That's what's going to continue to happen. That's going to be the scout on him to stay with him, stay long. Short arm, so he's not going to, be able to get that shot off. He's not creating the separation that he was before because, like you said, people are keying in on him. And so it's one of the reasons I'm not a proponent of him starting. It's mostly because of what I feel like his mentality goes when he sees himself having to start, rather than being able to get a feel for the game, watch the game for the first 5 or 6 minutes, and then come in and play a bit more relaxed. And so he's going to have to get it together, because I foresee people just putting big guards on him from here out.
Gianni, I thought, to me, tonight was just like, it was like a testament to Kyle Lowry. Someone pointed out he had 8 turnovers tonight.
5.
Oh, someone said 8.
That's a huge difference. What?
He had 8 turnovers. What are you talking
about? Did he? I just checked.
He had 5 personal fouls. You're looking at the wrong column.
Yeah, no, I read that.
But he had the best plus minus on the team. Like, Kyle was, to me, tonight was just like Kyle Lowry being Kyle Lowry. Like, he just does so much, and he can create a lot out of a little bit. And tonight was one of those nights where I thought he was really good. And he had to, I think he had to take a lot of chances tonight.
Yeah.
With who we had on the floor. Like they're not even close in this game tonight, in my opinion, without Kyle.
No, yeah, for sure. And like, some of those turnovers were just like kind of quick, like late shot clock passes to PJ and Yurt that just like weren't handled properly because, you know, of the kind of clock duress.
One of those to Yurt was not Yurt's fault, though.
No, yeah, yeah. The bad lob was on Kyle.
That was not.
Yeah, that was a bad lob.
Why does Kyle do that?
Oh my God.
I thought they were a little rushed, and when they were switching Wiggins onto him, I do think that he knew that he had to kind of either make a decision to kind of go to the basket or throw it up quick. Like, so, because I mean, the length was coming, and I thought the Warriors did a really good job of that. But I mean, the stuff that he did well defensively, I thought he was great. I mean, like, they were trying to post him up early. That really didn't go well.
A couple times, but so did everybody.
I mean, I thought he was, I thought they were really good on defense. I thought he did a great, I thought he and Caleb did a great job on Steph. I love them putting the length on him, and I don't think the Heat did. I mean, they went to the zone once. Steph hit a 3. They're like, okay, we're done with that.
Yeah, you don't play zone against the Warriors.
Yeah, it was a lot of Kyle doing good shit. He would just get guys involved. He was kind of getting downhill. He was getting ahead of steam. He was hitting guys and pick and roll. This is a game that you miss Deadman and Bam in particular because, yes, you know, I think when Silva was in the game, it looked so bad because they were getting nothing vertically. And once they got Yurt, who has hands, into the game and could finish, you could see how Kyle was kind of manipulating the defense a little bit, getting downhill, getting to the basket, and the offense looked competent. So, like, if they have a guy like Bam or Deadman with Kyle in pick and roll, it looks different. And I thought Yurt played fine. It's not like the shit on Yurt or anything, but, you know, Kyle was incredible. You obviously want him to shoot better. Warriors are a really good defense. He did literally everything else.
I think, for the most part, I like, people get all on my case every time Yurt has a good game. And they're like, oh, Alf, you hated on Yurt. It's not that I'm hating on Yurt. I just know his limitations. And to me, Yurt is playing above those limitations. So I'm not even mad at him.
Like me as producer.
Huh?
Like me as producer.
When we can complete a show and you don't actually have the broadcast going after we're done.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, to me, that's a win. Like, you're looking competent. Like, he's our third best center, right? Not a lot of teams play 3-5s, okay? He shouldn't be
4th, really, because Markieff is probably better at center.
Probably. I mean, but he's our 5th big.
I don't want to shit on Yurt because Yurt's doing a really good job he's a pretty elite rebounder.
Yeah.
He's huge. But you know how many people are huge in his league and can't fucking rebound a ball?
Yes.
Right. So that's a plus. It's a big plus.
Jeremy Grant.
My issue with him is he's one of the worst finishers under the basket I've ever seen in my life. And I'm hoping, I'm not saying that he's going to stay this way, but man, he's got to work on that. Because again, this is another night. He was, 2 of 7. Now, I know one of those is like a 3. Yeah. Omer Yurt 7, yeah.
Really?
2 of 7.
Holy shit.
28.6% from the field.
What the fuck?
That's,
I didn't even realize he was that bad.
That's rude.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I just like, and we've seen this many, many times. I mean, I know I'm too lazy.
He's
to pull
in the 34th percentile at shots at the rim to Brass's point.
That's really bad.
It's so bad. That's it's so bad. And a lot of them are just like little, just kind of like, just get it up. It, like, he must be so bad at carnival games. Like,
but you know, like, Kenny, it reminds, go ahead, Kenny. What do you have? Go ahead.
I think, and it's not even just with the shooting, what I'm about to say. It's just he gets hit a little bit and he goes flying. I'm not sure how much he actually weighs, but man, like, he had that one, like, that one play where Wiggins bumped him and he flew under the basket. That's like, that happens constantly, and I don't really understand it. I guess because he changed his body so drastically, like, he's just not used to it yet.
Yes.
He is thinner than he's ever been, but man, he got to figure that shit out.
You know what? And like Siobhan was saying, he's big, and he should be getting those rebounds. And it reminds me a lot of Hassan. I think I said this before.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't move like from the rim, because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't rotate. They play him differently than they play a guy like Bam per se. And we've said we would wish they would play Bam a little bit more in the drop sometimes, let him be around the rim more often. But they don't even have a choice. Like, yeah. They're like, just sit your ass over here by the rim and don't move. So he gets a lot of rebounds just by virtue of not being able to guard the perimeter. So he's there. And honestly, and like Brad said, there's a lot of guys, Siobhan, that are there and don't grab those rebounds. But I don't want to overstate the rebounds when it comes to Yurt, because a lot of times he's just snatching them out of Tyler's hands or snatching them from Kyle Guy. And he's just like ripping it out. Like I don't want to understate the rebounding. Like I like the fact that he's rebounding, but it also tells me you ain't moving very well if you're constantly there, always great. The ball's just falling into your hands 15, 16, 17 times a game.
He had some today where he was covering ground on his rebounds. And
he was free today. It was weird.
Yeah, he was. No, he was like,
what the hell?
We talked about this a bit on the pregame damage, oh, Ethan. We talked about.
For the podcast audience, Smeethan says your seven needs Gabby Union's advice on how to be better around the rim. And if you don't understand that reference, I can explain it to you.
I ain't got nothing for you.
Go ahead.
But yeah, we talked about it a little bit on the pregame about how he's just hasn't come all the way into his body. There's a different type of strength.
Raising.
Kind of, sure. Brad said he couldn't get it up like 3 minutes ago, so it's fine. Yeah, he just hasn't, he's not all the way comfortable or like hasn't filled out his body yet. He's still really raw. Kenny, to your point, he's lost a lot of weight, so is still trying to like figure out his home in his body. Also needs to get stronger, and it's a different type of gather and up motion that comes from like offensive and defensive rebounds versus putbacks. The catch to reload, to go back up for a putback while navigating, getting hit and things like that is a different thing than it is to just go up and get a rebound when you're 6'14". So once he gets stronger and once he gets more comfortable in himself and gets better touch around the rim, he's going to be able to give them even more than he's giving them now solely by just being big. And again, like I tweeted before, fuck all y'all that told me we didn't need size.
and they've lost all, like they've lost all four of their primary rotational big men, which is crazy. And I know PJ was back tonight, but PJ didn't look completely right.
Yeah.
When he was in there, he was yelling at Yurt a lot. I don't know if you guys noticed that shit.
Somebody has to.
Oh my God. I'm like, Mario was out there yelling at Yurt. I was like, shit.
Alf, I think a good indication of kind of like how healthy guys like PJ are is kind of look at their rebounding numbers and their activity. Zero offensive rebounds for PJ, who we know is like getting his ass. And he just didn't look interested in kind of getting in there. Which obviously you can't blame him. Like he's trying to like give you anything he can. Like you know, not 100%.
I don't think he should have played tonight.
And I do want to say because
I mean, had he could COVID clearly play, year. But just not give them what they like. So everything.
I don't think he should have played.
Coming okay. off of COVID, there's no chance in hell his conditioning yeah. is right. And so yeah. I get that completely. So I'm not down on him at all.
Does this game make any of you guys feel differently about the loss last night?
No.
Because I know, like, a lot of people were calling it a bad loss, and I was
it was a bad loss. I mean, I'm not really. I mean, it's frustrating because, like, they got a shot at the end to win the game or tie the game or whatever that you take 11 out of 10 times, right? So it's – they're going to lose road games when they're short a lot of players. So, I mean, I think it's disappointing, but not, like, a bad loss.
If Tyler had a better game from the start, I don't think that they find themselves in the position they did yesterday.
They played better tonight than they did against the Kings, which is funny.
Which I expected.
I think, too, a lot of times when we talk about bad losses, we can't really let a team's record just automatically make us think they don't have talent over there. Like, they have Tyrese Haliburton, they have De'Aaron Fox. Well, they have enough talent to pull these wins out. And so I wasn't too disappointed in that.
They had better players than the Heat did yesterday. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, people are like, oh, they had Jimmy, Hero, and Lowry. And
what that was it.
Yeah, like, literally, like, okay, if we're going
to Sacramento, Sacramento has often had talent.
Good
talent. They lack culture.
Yes, they do lack culture. Yeah. But the Heat lack culture because they were playing fucking Highsmith. Does Highsmith have culture? We can't inject his ass with culture after, like, 2 days. Like it was.
No, he needs a second dose of that.
Just yeah, I mean, he didn't even get his fucking culture booster shot.
What is it? Like, 30 days in between doses.
but legit, like we're talking about. Oh, it's the Kings. Yes, I understand it's the Kings. But if you want to call Caleb a rotation player, which I think he will be, but that wasn't the plan coming into the season. He was a two-way guy. They had four rotation guys last night. All right, so like, you're gonna tell me you're gonna just beat the shit out of a team with Haliburton playing out of his mind, De'Aaron Fox,
Buddy Kidd, seven threes.
Come on, like
they got talent over there, man.
And the Heat did not.
They contained Steph, but not Buddy Hield.
And so I do want to be fair though. Steph is in a real bad shooting slump right now.
No. Only Duncan has shooting slump. Shut the fuck up.
You know that Steph is shooting sub 40%. This year, and his numbers at the rim are down too. Like he's like having like a below average shooting season for him, and he's still. I mean, he's just so amazing that
was it the whole season or
the whole season? He's just not been great. Like in terms of shooting. I mean, he's obviously great.
Well, compared to himself,
yeah. Like the standard is himself.
Comparing him to it, right?
Yeah. But like, apparently,
the Bucks and Nets lost tonight.
Which yes, they did.
Yep.
Because one of the problems.
The Bulls were down.
Yeah, but they won. Still. They won. They're on their eight straight win.
The fucking Magic are so useless. God damn it.
But like one of the things that has been hurt, like when you're watching these games and Heat go on like a 5-game win streak, everybody at the top of the East is winning. Yeah. So, and I know it's a little too early to be like, you know, watching the standings, but that's where you're like, damn, losing two in a row right now. With the way the top five in the East are playing,
right.
Because the team below you is the Cavaliers, and they beat the shit out you twice.
Yeah, and then the top teams lose, and then you also lose. It's like, well, fuck.
I straight up would rather play the Nets or the Bucks than the Cavs.
No, I don't want no parts of the Cavs.
I want none. I don't want any. That series is going to drive us crazy.
You better be fully healthy. Fully, and I'm talking about fully healthy.
I'm so scared of Darius Garland. You don't understand.
That dude is good, man.
That dude scares the fuck out of me more than James Harden.
Victor Oladipo needs to be at least 85% of who he was if you want me to feel
he
really
needs
confident.
The third culture dose, Oladipo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear the second one puts you on your ass because you take charge.
Can we go to the Gaga of the game, Brass?
Yes.
I forgot what. Oh no, this is the one. Oh yeah, this is the light slow put back. Kyler misses. I'm late on that. My bad. Here, once again.
Caleb.
His fucking energy. Like,
I love him so much.
Look at it's like he knew Tyler was gonna miss that because he's like
we all did.
Running from half court.
Yeah. As soon as he came into the screen, I knew exactly what was about to happen.
Look at him.
That's awesome.
That's not even my favorite Caleb play. One. It was the pull-up in transition.
No. Caleb had a nice night tonight. Like, he just did things that I didn't know. We've seen it. But, like, Caleb was starting to get consistent with some of this shit.
The defense on Curry was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, the defense, we knew the defense. I feel like the defense has always been there.
That was a PJ Kyle turnover right there. That's what happened.
But I think we knew the defense was solid because the activity, we know what he looks like defensively. It's just some of the things, the shooting being more consistent. Some of the moves in the lane. I mean, you've seen a little Euro steps. You've seen a lot of things out of Caleb off the dribble, ISO, just being able to get to the basket that – I mean, I think are a little bit surprising that he's able to do it consistently. I think we all knew the defense was there, but it's offensively like it's like PJ, he's giving you more than you thought he ever could.
Based on the way he plays defense, though, I felt him be capable of kind of the offensive production he's giving you, right? Even defensively, he's energetic, he's active, he's quick, and so. Like, those things are, like, helping transition him into being, like, a more consistent offensive player. I think he has it. I think someone asked me, like, is he, like, a legit scorer or hooper? I forget the word they use. But I think he can consistently give them 16 to 20 a game just off of being athletic and getting downhill. He gets downhill fairly easy and is just quick.
Cody and Caleb are like opposites. So Caleb is an elite guy at the rim, 71%, 88th percentile, and not a good three-point shooter, 57th percentile, 36%. His brother Cody, 56% at the rim, 28th percentile, 46% from three, 99th percentile. They're like fucking bizarro.
Yeah, they're half of each other.
Yeah, I like ours better. Ours is more fun. Ours dunks and does cool shit. And sometimes
you can. Yeah, and the Heat needed a guy like that too because we haven't gotten any of those lackadaisical Heat games in a while. And I think that's because of Caleb.
Because of Caleb. And like, honestly, before Keith went down, you were just seeing a lot of just fight out of this team where, like you said, Kenny, last year, they were just like, I mean, in the first quarter, I had flashbacks of last season because motherfuckers was dying on screens like mosquitoes. Like, I thought I was having flashbacks of Goron and Kendrick Nunn. Like, motherfuckers just getting hung up on. Like, I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Alf, did you see that Laker Twitter's like, oh, Klay Thompson and Kyrie coming back the same week as Ken Nunn? I go, the NBA is great. And I go, you just slip that in there? Like, what's going on here?
Bro, they are.
Is that a real tweet?
Yes, it is. I
saw believe it. Laker fans don't watch basketball. So,
bro, I was like, who do you think this guy is?
They're in for the rudest of awakening. Like, man. Oh my God. Like,
did they just do that because they all start with K? Like,
they are dead, this guy's good.
Who are the best K's in the NBA?
Against them in the
Kyrie,
final?
Clay,
and Kendrick.
Alf, you remember the game that Gogi went down?
Kyle guy.
Nunn came in and he didn't miss like a shot because the Lakers weren't like prepared for, you know, not Goron. And they just remember that game and they're like, that guy's fucking good. Spo's an idiot.
Yo, I can't. Honestly, I don't. I would like for him, you know, shout out young black man. I want you to do well, but there's going to be a petty rooting for him to fucking suck.
We gotta hate watch his first game.
It's like I keep saying, when he goes that 5 minutes straight, looking everybody off on those pick and rolls to shoot his pull up mid range, we gonna see how Laker fans react to that,
bro. If they're mad at Westbrook,
man.
Bro,
oh man,
no.
Brass is on a plate.
Let me show you Westbrook without the athleticism.
Man, I like Kendrick too, but man, they got some passing. Hope for him.
He was the Hassan Whiteside of guards.
they're gonna pull up that domestic violence charge quick.
Yeah, man. They're gonna read that and go, look, he's a Splash Brother.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Sorry.
Let's go to Bond's breakdown. Bond is so
confused. Oh, hold up. Let me break it down so it can forever and consistently be broke.
Go ahead.
So, all I have is four of Miami's defense for, you know, of what the Warriors do offensively, and why they kind of get a lot of the things that they do, even with Steph having, you know, down here. But that guy is who he is. So go ahead. And this first one, pause. They do a really good job of screening for one another, and they come tightly off of their screens, and they know where they expect the next pass to go. So go ahead. Pause. Caleb has been playing a good job, right? Trying to lock and trail, stay with him the whole time. He comes off tight. This like extra little push up the sideline a little bit that Steph does forces Yurt to have to react to him. Go ahead. And then, you know, just pocket pass. Right, good pass, good job, Kevon. They just have a lot of those types of motions continuously all over the court from different people triggering the ball, different people passing it. Go ahead. This was after he come back in, pause. So he comes back in, Nemanja has the ball up top. Go ahead. Right, so pause. So Kyle Guy, if you could back it up. Kyle Guy, I don't know who he's guarding, but he doesn't see the ball at all. Defensive principal, see man, see ball, he doesn't. PJ, I can't, they're all light-skinned and like the same height. PJ's guarding somebody light-skinned, Tyler's guarding the other light-skinned.
That's Toscano. I just made that up.
The shoes, right?
They all look like Toscano.
The pink shoes is Toscano, I think. So go ahead. So this pass, so then pause. PJ's occupying the corner. Kyle Guy doesn't see what's happening. Go ahead. And the man gets a free back cut to the rim. Not really sure what Caleb was doing over there. Right. Revenge game for that guy. And then
You don't think that was Jimmy's fault?
Go ahead. Do it again. Where?
On the Bielitsa cut. It's overplaying him here.
Yes, he's playing him way too high. He shouldn't have went for that steal to start. That's what kind of put him behind.
But and then even after that, he plays above him.
Yes.
It didn't back make off a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead. And then these two pumps were how they kind of started the game. I was looking to see if they were going to try to get Andrew going. And, like, their first three possessions were, like, screen across post-ups for him. Go ahead. This one, I believe, comes from pause. Yep, this one comes from the block, screen across. Go ahead. They switch here. Tyler tried. That's Tyler length tried. Being able to. He did. but that's length, being able to out try him there. And then the last one is a similar look, but instead of the screen coming from the opposite block, pause, it's coming from Toscano, having been on the wing, cutting down to the block, and then going across. Go ahead. And they did like variations of this, like I said, like the first three or four possessions. Misses a shot, but initially he was getting good post looks down below, like in the charge circle. You can take me out. I'm really not mad with this game. I know I tweeted that I expected us to get our backs blown out, but on the pregame, I really said that I thought we'd only lose by like 8. They lost by 7. I mostly like what they did defensively. Caleb played Steph really well defensively, did a lot of what I was saying in the pregame. Aggressive but disciplined, athletic but detail oriented. And you know, this is a loss that I think that they shouldn't be too upset about. Yesterday, maybe, tonight, not so much.
No, I thought they did a lot of things well. I thought that they took punches and they came back. You know, yes. It wasn't.
Yep. They didn't keep getting beat the fuck down.
Yeah. Like, and when Jimmy went down, like the next thing that happened was Kyle Guy hit like a three or a layup.
Yeah, a layup. Mm-hmm.
Like Kyle Guy was just like, I'm taking matters into my own hands.
Well, also now that, like four minutes into the game, it felt like this game was slipping away. We're gonna lose by like 40.
Bro, the entire night I'm like, oh, here comes I just kept expecting this like Golden State run, but the Heat just. I mean, they kept, you know, Kyle Guy, whatever.
Jimmy turned it on. Jimmy tied that cape one good little stretch and had like 8 to 10 straight points. And then shit starts to come back.
This, like, honestly, this season is like, if Spo doesn't get coach of the year this season, I have no idea wild. What the fuck is going on. There's this no entire way. Season is like, you ever watch Chopped? Like where like they fucking give you these ridiculous ingredients and you have to make something good. Like that's what they're doing to Spo.
Here's Chris Silva, Kyle Guy.
Every game. They're like, yeah, here, put something together with fucking
KZ coded Chris Silva.
Right.
Even on top of that, he's unlocked shit in PJ's game that we've never seen from him before. Like he has to get it at this point. He's been the best coach in the league for a long time. You know, I don't think he's ever even finished top two.
And it's why I can't get like too upset at these games. I mean, this was, I agree, far less upsetting than the Kings game was, especially since, you know, Jimmy went down in this one. But it's like, I lost my fucking train of thought. I'm like so rusty.
Brass to me, like,
I had a point.
They really need to get this Portland win. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. Totally. Yeah. They have to win. So to me, this whole season is like being on a fucking boat in the ocean and like all these waves are coming and those waves are fucking injuries and COVID protocols and the whole thing. You're just fucking like, wait, like, oh, God, we're going to die. We're going to fucking wait a minute. And all of a sudden it starts calming down. It's like, oh, shit, we're like, no. Oh, shit. We're all right. You just need to fucking stay afloat. You just need to stay afloat.
That's
and
it.
if we can get if Jimmy is the one thing that freaks me out about this tonight, because this could go any direction with his injury tonight. Because even if it's something, you know, something like his ass, it's going to take him out for 2 weeks. This looked worse than that because, I mean, look at him coming off the fucking floor tonight. Like, that's unusual. For Jimmy,
what scares me?
This is my favorite part. Is Bam is like, dog, you're not even carrying him right. Get out of here. You can't even carry our guy off right. Let a professional have. Look at Mechanic slouching over because he's taller than Jimmy. Silva's just look. He's like walking into Jimmy. Bam's like, get the fuck off of him. You're gonna break him. You've done enough, Silva.
But like. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell if
that's the bad ankle, Brass.
Yeah, and it's the outer ankle.
He fucked that up in Orlando last year, the first game of the season, and they brought him back early in that game against the Mavericks where he never looked right, and then he got COVID, didn't play. They had to play him a fucking billion minutes because they sucked. And then, you know, now he's, you know, sensitive.
But what scares me is that it's the bad ankle.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to be the bad ankle. Yeah. The motherfucker can't plant. You know what I mean? Like, that scares the fuck out of me. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's not a, it's not ideal. You know, the way he plays the game, like, I mean, he's super aggressive. He's going to get in the paint. He needs to pivot. He needs to do a lot.
He really should look at different shoes. He really should look at different shoes or, like, different ankle supports.
Tape the motherfucker? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But just put a brace on that bitch? I don't know what's happening. I don't know. I put him in a pair of Chucks because back in the day, I feel like... No, the canvas Chucks ain't gonna. I feel like they used to be all right, man.
I don't know. Bill Russell was moving in them shits.
He was
against accountants. Yeah, look at the opposition. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Ron. Oh,
yeah, but you gotta consider the fact that Collins was also racist, so he had more shit to run from. So that, like,
that's a good point.
About this performance.
I don't like people in the chat insinuating that D-Wade shoes are bad. Are you a lifer? Or you not a lifer?
Right.
You in it or you not?
You know, listen, I love Wade. I got one pair of those shoes. It gave me the worst fucking blisters ever.
Yeah.
Really.
These shoes are specified for these people's feet.
I feel like Danita. Let me explain something. Jimmy Butler's not wearing the leanings that you bought. Guarantee you that shit. Like, he is wearing the most custom motherfucking shoe in the world, and they put a leaning fucking, you know, like... Nobody, none of these dudes are playing in the shoes that you guys buy.
Chris Silva might.
Chris Silva gets
Paul George has a good shoe. I play in Paul George's shoes. Paul
Did
George
you
has
see?
A good shoe.
Chris Silva, gets
Chris
his
Silva bought his shits at Champs. Man.
Did you see the tweet? And it's like, my grandfather had Kareem. You know, I have, you know, my dad had Kobe, and then they're like, I have Paul George. And he said that, like, dead serious. And someone's like, I'm so sorry for you. Some dude on Clippers Twitter. Yo, these people in LA are down bad, dude.
I didn't even know Clippers had a Twitter.
Like, they're like four people. They're like Magic Twitter.
I wonder how old they are, though, because there's no way they became Clipper fans, like, in the early, well, maybe early 2000s. Those teams were pretty cool. But like mid 2000s, no way.
The Q Rich teams,
yeah.
Portland on Wednesday. How does that go?
They have to win that game.
They need Gabe back, bad dude.
I think they will have Gabe.
Can't keep rolling the dice with this gauntlet of point guards.
How long's he been out with protocol?
I think he should be back. That's what Wednesday.
He feels like he should be back.
That new 5-day shit. You miss a game and a half. Like that five.
Yeah.
Listen, I applaud CDC for their fucking.
The CDC recommends.
He gave Vince. He's
still going to be coughing when he get back on the floor, but whatever.
Yes, people might die, but I can gave Vince. You know,
people are going to die, but it's inevitable.
But Frosty gave silver straight.
But I can gave Vince.
You remember that TikTok?
I can't believe she survived after that.
I can't either. That was so long ago.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You don't know the Vanessa Hudgens thing? Like when they canceled like Coachella or something, and she's like trying to like argue that they should keep it open. She's like, yeah, but people are going to die. It's terrible, but like inevitable. And then she goes, I shouldn't
be
saying this.
No COVID protection whatsoever. I mean,
yeah,
this was early
in March.
Days. Yeah.
That is literally me asking for Gabe Vincent to come back.